Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Samach Tet. Wow. Okay, so now I know this is a little bit frustrating for you guys, because we've been going back and forth on these psukim, because each time we end up having a new level of understanding what exactly it is that the Torah is trying to tell us about a kohenet, a bas kohen, that married someone, or that ended up sleeping with someone outside of marriage, what her situation is, if she was, in fact, relating in that way to a non-kohen, what would her din be, legabe the kuhuna, and legabe her achilas truma. And on the other hand, we were talking about an equivalent mirror image, where a bas Yisrael, Dafka, was married to a kohen, and she was, because of that, allowed to eat truma. And it turned out that there were a lot of variations here. Yesterday, we spent the day on trying to understand how do we know that there are two completely different issues going on in that series of psukim that refer to a bat kohen, ki tihiye le'ish zar. On the one hand, we're talking about an izar means, on a simple level, any non-kohen. So if she's married to any non-kohen, he betrumata kodashim lo tochal. She's not allowed to eat the truma from that point on. That's what the simple meaning is. Then the next pasuk tells me that if she'll be an almanah v'grusha from that guy who was a non-kohen, then she can go back to eating the truma that she used to eat as a child, but only if she doesn't have any children. Okay, so that was the simple level. The same thing we learned out was true in the inverse. That if Zera Yeshla, she was married to a Kohen, and she does have children, so then that would mean she would be allowed to continue to eat from the Truma, even though her husband, the Kohen, died or divorced her because she has a child who is a Kohen. Now, we learned that that works in all directions. For instance, supposing she's not a bas kohen, she's a Yisraelit, and she's eating truma, and she then goes ahead and marries a Yisrael, despite the fact that she has a son who's a kohen, and that would be enough for her to eat truma, it would not be enough in the event that she went ahead and married a Yisrael. It would be the same thing as if she were a kohenet. Now, that was one level of the pasuk. But then we learned this other level. The other level was that if ki tihiye le'ish zar, we understood to mean that if she sleeps with someone who is an ish zar, because we said we don't really need that pasuk, since we can figure out the fact that she wasn't allowed to eat truma while she was married to the Yisrael through the fact that the next pasuk said only if her husband dies or divorced her, then she can continue to eat truma. So we said there's an additional layer of meaning here. The additional layer is that if she ends up relating to someone who is czar to her, meaning she's not supposed to be married to him, that then, even though they're not married, but if she slept with him, so then she becomes posel for the kahuna, and she becomes posel for the kohen. Now, each one of those steps, it took us some time to prove. We thought that we needed different psukim to tell me psul for the kahuna and psul for truma. And we thought that that would only apply to a bas kohen and not to a bas Yisrael. And we also thought that maybe it was a reference dafka to people that were completely and totally against her in the sense of she can't have any relations with her. Maybe it's only talking about a chi of chorus. We ended up proving that's not the case. And then we needed a special pasuk to tell me that, and that's because of the fact that it says ki tihiye, she could be married. So that all of this only applies dafka in cases where she could be married. Then we needed a special pasuk to tell us, okay, well then, how do we know that a goy to whom she can't be married, how do we know that he's also included? We bought another pasuk which is almana v'grusha, mishe yesha almanot v'grusha. Right now, that's where we were up to. So as I say, there's a lot of ins and outs. Please don't get overwhelmed, because the basic format is clear. A woman can either be zocha to be ochelet b'truma because she's born into a family of kohanim, or she can be zocha to be ochelet b'truma because she marries into a family of Kohanim. She loses her right to be Echeles B'Truma while she's married to someone who is also to eat the Kahuna, the Truma. This despite the fact that she was either a Kohanah born into a family of Echle Truma, or because she has a child from a previous marriage to a Kohen. She has a son now who is a Kohen. That also gives her right to Truma. She can lose that right in either case by marrying a Yisrael. If she becomes an Amana Grusha, she can regain that right. Okay, so it's basically pretty clear. We went through a lot of fascinating cases in the Mishnah where there are relationships that will act in one direction and not in the other. So in other words, we found a lot of relationships that may prevent her from eating Truma, whereas the same relationship will not necessarily be a mirror image that will grant her the right to eating Truma in the event that she was married to a Kohen. So for instance, we had the case of her being pregnant, a fetus, so that the fetus will not give her the right to eat Truma because he has to be Yalud. But on the other hand, the very fact that she has a fetus means that she can't go back to eating Truma because she's not Kina Ureha. It's not the way it was before when she was a little girl eating Truma. So we had a lot of cases like that. We had the case of Yavam, and we spoke about the Erusin as opposed to an Nisuin being like that, or maybe the marriage of a Cheresh being like that, where the Rabbanan gave certain rights to marriage. Okay, again, those are a bit tangential, but the general focus is really clear once you see the thing in perspective. So don't get discouraged. Now we have an additional point today, which is how it is that we derive some of this. Remember, what we said yesterday was that we used that word of Almana V'Grusha to tell me that, well, if she can't even be an Amana Ugrusha, so then she's definitely going to be Psula, right? That's what we said. But the question is, does that really follow? I mean, couldn't we say just the opposite? Couldn't we say that from Almana V'Grusha, what we really could learn is Ve'ema, says the Gemara, why don't we say exactly the opposite? Why don't we say that in the case where there's no Almana V'Grusha, we're seven lines down from the top now, that in a case where Yeshlo Almanut V'Gerushin Ba, then we are limited to her being allowed to eat Truma only where she has no children. But if she does have children, she is prevented from eating Truma. But how about if she is, so to speak, married, she's having relations with a goy or with an eved, where there's no concept of Almanut V'Gerushin Ba, so then maybe it's like just sleeping with an animal. So there, even if she would have Zera, she'd be allowed to eat, because it wouldn't passel her. In other words, maybe it's teaching me a Kula, not teaching me a Chumra. Well, yes, that would be possible, but then there would be something inconsistent. Because remember that we needed the extra ubat, as opposed to just bat ubat, to tell me that this is true even of a Levia or a Yisraelid. But why in the world would we need that any longer? If the whole point is that, in fact, it doesn't impact her, even as a Kohenet, of course you can't, it doesn't impact her as a Levia and a Yisraelite. So then, because it's coming to tell me a Kula. So obviously, the fact that the Torah found it necessary to include in this halacha a Levi and a Yisraelite, it must mean that it's coming to tell me a Chumra, that he actually passels her even without the Zera. And because of that, I need a pasuk. Maybe that's because she's so holy. She's a Bas Kohen. How do we know that if she's only a Leviyah of Yisrael, she also becomes Psula? That's why I need the extra pasuk. Okay. Now, this whole thing seems to fall apart, though. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, so then none of this makes sense. Because remember how it started? The Torah said Ki Tihiyeh. And Ki Tihiyeh means that she does have at least the potential of relating to in marriage. So that's why we needed an extra pasuk to tell me, how about if she has no potential at all of relating to in marriage because he's a goy or an evet? But according to Rabbi Akiva, how do you understand the word ki tihyeh? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, any iser does not provide a potential to marry, because remember, Rabbi Akiva holds that ein kedushin tovsim b'chayvei lavim. So since according to him, the iser means there cannot be a tihyeh, how does he explain the word ki tihyeh? Obviously, he can't explain it literally. Ki tihyeh le'izar, she will have a marriage to someone who's asura. So he must understand that the very meaning of the word ki tihyeh could only be if she were acting out. That is to say, she's sleeping with him, but she doesn't really have any kinyanim with him. So then that includes everybody, including the eved, the goy. She's acting out, so to speak, pretending to be his wife. She's not really his wife. So then why do I need a separate pasuk of almana v'grusha? Only someone that it's possible to have almanot v'grushot. I no longer need that pasuk. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the point of almana v'grusha? Oh, says the Gemara. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a remez about the din of almana v'grusha mishi yeshlo. It's coming to tell me the actual din, not to tell me you need the possibility of an almanut v'gerushin, but to tell me what the din is of an almana and the grusha. And this is exactly the way that Rabbi Akiva explains it. And that is that there is a tzad to tell me a chumra and a tzad to tell me a kula. That's how he understands it. Because let me tell you something. Let's say that it wouldn't have mentioned both almana v'grusha. Okay? It would have said she's an almana. Wouldn't have said grusha. So you would think, okay, if she's an almana, then she can go back to eating the truma that she used to eat as a little girl. Yes. But what about if she's a grusha? If she's a grusha, you can't allow her to go back to eating the truma like she was a little girl, because a grusha has now changed her position vis-a-vis the kahuna. She used to be a fine bas kohen who was allowed to marry a kohen. Now she's a divorcee, so she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So maybe if she's a divorcee, she can't go back to eating the truma from her father either. And that would be true even in the event that she does not have any children from this Yisrael, because she's a divorcee, right? So I need to know, no, even if she's a divorcee, she can still go back. So the word grusha is coming to tell me a kula. Now, suppose it only said a grusha. What would I have thought? I would have thought, yes, a grusha, if she still has a child from this Yisrael, so she can't go back. But if she's an almana, so then, even if she has a child, she should go back, because nothing changed in terms of her suitability for a normal kohen, right? She only has suitability to a kohen gadol. So maybe if it would have mentioned only grusha, I would have said, if she were an almanah from the Yisrael, even if she has a child from the Yisrael, she would be allowed to in that case, be eating truma. Therefore, the almanah is coming to be machmir, to say, no, even if she's an almanah, and k'sheira l'kahuna, if she has a child from that Yisrael, she cannot go back to eating truma. So there's a very good reason why it would say almana v'grusha, according to Rabbi Akiva. The almana is coming to be machmir, namely, that even though she's k'sheira l'kahuna, if she has a child, she cannot go back, and the grusha is coming to be mekel, namely, even though she's a grusha and is now psula l'kahuna, nonetheless, she can go back. Okay? So that works out very well, according to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, tzricha. Says the Gemara, ve'ima nivala la pasula, if we're now saying that anybody that's possible for her passels her for truma, why doesn't that include even a marzir grushato? So remember, before we brought a raya that someone who remarries his ex-wife after she had been married to someone else, even though that's an iser lav, but it does not pasul her from the kahuna, from the achilas kahuna. Now the question is, why would that be true? Is she not married to an Isser, to Tiel Izar? No? No. That's the whole point. Why do you think we express this din of being involved with someone Osir in such a confusing way as calling him an Izar? He's not an Izar. He's just Osir to her. I mean, look at all of the difficulties we went through to establish that even though it seemed to be talking about an Izar, that is a Yisrael, and that changed the whole meaning of the pasuk to us, it really meant an Izar that she's also to sleep with. I mean, why not just say so? Why confuse us? That's the whole point. It's not confusing. It's enlightening. The type of Isser that we're talking about is limited to an Isser that actually is a Zarut. That is to say, this is someone that I would never dream of sleeping with. But in this case, she wasn't alien to him. They were married once upon a time. She only became Asura to him when she goes ahead and marries somebody else. That's not called an Izar by any stretch of the imagination, is it? And that's the whole point. So since it says Zar, Amrachmona, Misha Zar Etzla Meikara, someone who is like out of range of considering as a lover. Masha Inkein Lafuki Hai, this guy was once married to her, and therefore by no stretch of the imagination could he be called Zar Etzlami Karahu. Wait a minute, so if that's the truth, now I got another problem. I mean, suppose somebody is a halal. Is a Bas Kohen, is she Asura from marrying a halal? No. Absolutely not. There are no Isurim on a Bat Kohen from marrying someone who is possible for the Kohuna. She is only Asura for exactly the same kind of people that every other girl, Yisraelit, Leviya, is Asura in, right? So the Mamzer and the Nesin and the whatever. So why in the world did we say that if a Halal sleeps with a Bas Kohen, that she is now psula for kuhuna, for the achila of the truma? Why did we say that? So then even a halal should not pasul. So how do we get that? For yochi halal is not zar, so why does he pasul her? Omar kro, lo yechalel zar o b'amav. It says over there by the Kohen Gadol who's sleeping with the almanah, that he is going to be mechalel his child. And that compares the chalalut that his child is capable of causing with the chalalut that he is causing in his intercourse. To tell me that just makish zaro lo, mahu posel, av zaro nami posel. That if he makes her posel for the kahuna, his child who comes from such a union will also posel his partner from the kahuna. Ah, but doesn't it say kitiyeh? Kitiyeh means from the moment that there exists kiddushin. So why don't we say that even if somebody, a woman, accepts kiddushin from someone who is a halal, so she should already be a surah? No, because it's the same as a kohen gadol to an almana. Just like a kohen gadol ba'almana is only going to passel her by absolutely sleeping with her. The same thing is true that the Zera, that he's Mechalel, is only if he's sleeping with her. How do we know? Because it says, V'lo Yechalel Zar'o. Now, the meaning of lo yechalel zar'o is that we're talking about a relationship that somehow or other involves semen, literally. So therefore, if there's no bia, so then there's no way that he could be mechalel his zera, is there? And therefore, the simple act of Kabbalah's Kiddushin is certainly not enough to passel a woman who engaged herself to a Kohen Gadol as an almana. Okay, I understand that. But maybe on the other hand, it requires both. In other words, in the event that a woman accepted Kedushin and then she went ahead and slept with him, then she becomes Pasul. But if she just slept with him and never accepted Kedushin, so maybe over there she doesn't Pasul. How do you know that just sleeping with him would automatically make her Pasul? Asks the Gemara. Ve'ema adi'ika havaya, meaning Kedushin, plus bia. No, because again, I'm learning it out from the Kohen Gadol Ba'almana. Just like the Kohen Gadol makes that almana pasul only with bia alone. So it says zaro, he shouldn't be mechalel zaro. Zaro has nothing to do with Kedushin. Hafainami bibi alechuta. Okay, that concludes our understanding of these psukim. And I hope that you are excited, even though it's hard for me to convey excitement when you don't have a voice, but it's really very beautiful to see how every word in this pasuk ended up lining up with the structure that we provided. We're talking about four psukim, and our mesechet has basically shown the fantastic interrelationship between every single subtle diuk and switch in language and extra vav, and saying things that would have been able to have been derived without saying them, and repetitive statements that don't make any sense, and so on and so forth. You look at it like a goy would look at that parsha reading the holy book, and, I mean, not that he would notice, but if he would have learned how to notice things, he would be scratching his head, what the heck is this supposed to mean anyway? And over here, one who is zeichet to the Torah Shebaal Peh looks at it and sees the poetry of it and understands the consistency of it and how many different inyanim it involves in terms of the Kedusha Zakahuna and the difference between the level of Kedusha of Achilas Truma and the Achila of eating Mura Mina Kochim as opposed to eating Truma, which is not from Kochim. It's unbelievable. So every last aspect and the implications of every last, whether it's talking about just a casual sexual relationship or an actual marriage, the differences that those make, what type of relations, what difference it makes in having a child from a previous relationship. It's really remarkable how many insights into human relationships there are here and how much insight into the Kedushas Yisrael, the Kedushas Kahuna, the Kedushas of Yisrael Shanim Shalal Truma. All of this is mamash very, very beautiful. I'm just sorry that I haven't been given the voice to be able to express my joy at being able to learn it. Now let's move on to the machlokas that we found. And that was a little bit strange, even though we looked ahead, sort of, and we saw what he was referring to. And Rabbi Yossi said, don't jump to any conclusions. Only if the zera itself is pasul will he pasul with that relationship, the woman that he's sleeping with. But if the zera isn't pasul, what is he talking about? What is Rabbi Yossi saying different than the Tanakhama? Because as far as I can make out, the zera is always pasul. All of the cases that you brought up, what do you mean, the zera of a mamzer isn't pasul? The zera of a nesin isn't pasul? I mean, like, what are you referring to? Oh, very simple. Rabbi Yochanan, a mitzri sheni and a domi sheni. So the dor shlishi is mutter. The dor sheni is aser. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, if she slept with an iser, and the iser is a dor sheni mitzri or a dor sheni adomi, so you'll say, according to the Tanakhama, well, he wasn't allowed to marry her, and therefore the child is going, woman is going to be pasul. Says Rabbi Yossi, but what will the child be? The child is completely kosher because the child is a third generation mitzri or adomi. And therefore, yesterday I was in a fog and I think I said the third generation, the second generation. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, it would pasul. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't pasul. What's the basis of the machlokes? Shneim lo lemadu elamikoin gadol ba'almanam. So the Tanakhama says, look, didn't we just learn out of Kohen Gadol Ba'almana, V'lo Yechalel Zaro, right? That was the basis for the whole thing. So, the Tanakhama says, okay, a Kohen Gadol is, with an Almana, is the Bia Usser. That's all I need to look at. The Bia is Usser, so then she becomes Asura. So, Hafainami, this case of a Mitzri Sheni, is the Bia Usser? Yes. So she's Pasul. Rabbi Yossi says, now, wait a minute, that's not sufficiently detailed. It has to be totally similar to the Kohen Gadol that is being Mechal Zara. So just like the Kohen Gadol, the Zera is Pasul, and in turn will Pasul anybody that he sleeps with. That has to be the case in all similar things, because that's how we understood the Chalalut. So then that's how we should understand the concept. It's not just a particular din in the din of a cholol. In this case, a mitzri sheni, where the zera of that mitzri sheni will not be pasul, like it says beferesh, banim asher yivaldu lahem, dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal Hashem. Therefore, those are not included. Great. So now we understand Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbana. What about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? What was he coming to exclude from this blanket statement of any Bia Asura is going to Aser her? He says, Kol she'ata nosei bito, ata nosei amanato. In the event that you, talking directly to a Kohen, anyone that you, a Kohen, is allowed to marry the daughter, so then even though there was an iser in the marriage, and the husband dies, and now she's an almana, and you want to marry her, you can marry her, even though it was a biasura. Well, who does that include? That is my ika bein Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Amar Ula, that is adding a ger who is from Ammon and Moab. So the ger from Ammon and Moab, his son is going to be pasul. No matter how many generations, even Avdor Asiri, Lo Yavol Kal Hashem, there's no limit, basically, to that Isser. But his daughter, even the first generation daughter, which of course is part of our whole story of Rus and Shruas and so on. So her daughter is actually going to be Muteret. Therefore, it's coming to tell me that in the event that we're left over here with a woman who had slept with a ger, Amoni Moavi, which was totally Aser. And then her husband dies, a Kohen is allowed to marry her, and she is not Nifsalat Lakuna. And Shneim Lo Lemadu Elami Kohen Gadol Balmana, here too, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel looked to the din of the Chalalut of Amon of a Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, just like a Kohen Gadol, like I explained when I was arguing with the Tanakhama, I explained that a Kohen Gadol, Ba'almana, the din over there is that his child is himself pasul and will pasul anybody else by sleeping with her. So anybody whose zera is pasul will pasul. And according to that, since the son of Ger Amoni Moavi is going to be pasul, and that's forever, so then Zaro is pasul, in which case over here he pasuls her. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Sava, you're not taking it to the full extent of the Hekesh. Actually, Ma Kohen Gadol be'almana, she calls Zaro pasul pasul. Not only the males, but even the females are pasulis. Af she calls Zaro pasul pasul. So too, only someone, all of whose Zera. So there, that would include all of the cases we had before, but would not include an Amoni Moavi, because over there only the males are going to be Osir. The ankles are opasol, because remember, the very basis of Mashiach Tzidkenu is the following years, the Diak. Amoni velo Amonit, Moavi velo Moavid, which is a suitable call upon our Kapitan, at a moment so close to Chag HaShavuos, Pesach Sheni, halfway there. Come on, man, give it your all, Sir Richard, and make up for my weakness.
In Bonaire's absence, can Redden please have a drink? Warm and soothing, please.
Yes, you're right. In Barnea's absence, I would actually enjoy a drink. What a lovely thought. Which, of course, relates to Kof Aleim Har Chagigit, right? We don't enjoy drinks when we're held under a mountaintop.
And so Barnea was going to say Kof Aleim Har Chagigit.
What did I say? I don't know.
Cough.
Anyway, I see. Yeah. Okay, it takes me a long time to follow Barnea, especially when somebody else is trying to be one. Okay, very cute. Barnea would be proud of you. Anyway, so again, hoy kol tzamei l'chula mayim. So it's a very appropriate comparison, right? So in mayim elatera. Okay, so thanks for the reminder. Now, in a case where the person who had slept with this woman was a rapist or a mifateh, there was no marriage, or a shoteh, he's nuts, and it's not possible for him to go ahead and to marry her. He's not usher on her, but he may be a Yisrael, and she slept with a Yisrael nonetheless. That's not a problem. Lo poslin v'lo ma'achilin. So let's say if she married a Yisrael and she's a bas kohen, she wouldn't be allowed to eat truma. But suppose she just has a casual relationship with a Yisrael. She's a mefutah. She was seduced, or she's raped by Yisrael. Or maybe she's even in a permanent relationship, but she's in a permanent relationship with someone who is not of normal mind and therefore doesn't have the ability to make a kedushin. So over there, they will not pasul her. Obviously, I mean, there's no real meaning over here to the lo ma'achilin, but it's also true that if a kohen would just sleep with her, he doesn't give her rights to eating truma. That is important to know. But if the people that we're talking about are enam re'uyim lavo b'Yisrael, then even if they don't marry her, they do pasul her. Remember, according to Rashi, enam re'uyim lavo b'Yisrael was a reference to chalalim, as strange as that seems. Tosfos had an opposite girsa, in which these enam re'uyim lavo b'Yisrael, these are the ones that are psulim bekal. The first Mishnah was talking about the ones that are chalalim, and even though it's obvious, but as according to Tosfos, it says this case to make it clear what the first case was. Okay, that's an aside. If it doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it too much. So what do we mean? Let's go through the implications of these statements. The first part of the Mishnah is telling me that if a Yisrael just had a casual relationship with a bat kohen, she can continue to eat truma because it wasn't a marriage. And there's no kitiyeh le'izar. Just sleeping with the Yisrael doesn't make a problem. But if she got pregnant, now that is a problem. Why? Because as it says in the Torah, only if she is kine'ureha, only if after a relationship is terminated, now in case of rape, the relationship is terminated pretty fast, but the point is, it says she can go back to eating truma only if she is like she was as a girl. Well, now she's pregnant. She didn't start off pregnant as a girl. And therefore, even a casual relationship, we don't care the relationship that made her pregnant. What we care is the fact that she's not like she was. And therefore, she cannot go back to eating truma. So, Alon, something has to be done about the psychology of South Africans. Apparently, your father-in-law believes that Sunday is special. That has to be dealt with. I know it takes a little bit of time for people who are not used to the idea, but Sunday is not special unless you are a sun worshiper, and then it's Sunday, which they spell with an O, but the bottom line is that it's important to recognize that getting up for Dafyomi even happens on Sunday. Now, this is something that Naftali might want to communicate to a certain Calvin, who is not a Calvinist, but nonetheless seems to be acting like one. So, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Chayshavik Sharon. Refuah Shleima. Oh, see that? Double Chayshavik Sharon. May they all be Mevurachim and Bri'im and Chazakim to be able to come to Daf Yomi every day forever, Bezrat Hashem. Anyway, good. So what happened to poor Ari that he went to shul? Anyway,
okay.
I know. Hare Kohen Sheba Abat Yisrael. Okay, then we're talking about the opposite case. A Kohen sleeps with her casually. He does not give her a right to eat truma. Lo chotal b'truma. But there, even if she becomes pregnant, that's not going to allow her to eat truma. Remember, because we said that this was one of the non-consistent, where someone might passel you, but doesn't give you the right. That's an uber. An uber until he's born, you lead beto, then you lead hu yochal, we read yachil, remember? So over here, it's actually a breakdown in symmetry, as we said. So if she got pregnant, she still can't eat. But if she gave birth to that Cohen's child, even though she was never married to him, so this is important to understand, that the presence of the child is not similar in this sense to Yibun, in that it's a continuation of her marriage. It's simply a new right to eat truma because of a son who is a Kohen. And that's what's becoming clear here with this Mishnah. So if she becomes pregnant, she cannot eat. But if she has a son who's a Kohen, I don't care whether she had that son licitly or illicitly. It's irrelevant. The important thing is that she has a son who is a Kohen and therefore tochal, which is fascinating because what that means is that the son has more of a capability to provide truma for his mother, a greater capability than his father. Because his father, if he attempts to sleep with this woman, but not for the purposes of Havaya, she's not considered to be Kinyan Kaspo. She's not considered to be any level of Kinyano Tochalbo. Mashenkin, the son, who is an ancillary product of that relationship, is able to give her. Interesting, right? So the koach of the ben is even better than the father. Now, an eved who sleeps with her will prevent her from eating truma. We went through all of that according to both approaches, Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. Maybe from Almana v'Grusha, or according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't even need Almana v'Grusha because he's Zaretzla. Okay, so he posels just Mishumbia. But in this case, Eno posel Mishum Zera. If she had been married to a Yisrael, so she's only allowed to eat Truma if there is no Zera. So in other words, let's say this Kohenis would have been married to a real Yisrael, who was kosher to get married, and he died, and we have still a child, but if the child is an Eved Kenani, so then he doesn't stop her from going back to Achilas Truma. Perfect. So then, that's because it's not considered to be, as we're going to see, it's not considered to be a child at all because it's not mityaches. Let's explain that. What do we mean? Ketzad. Let's take a case of a Bat Yisrael who is married to a Kohen, or the opposite case, a Bat Kohen who's married to a Yisrael. And she has a son. Okay, everything fine. But remember that a grandchild is the same as a child in terms of Achilas Truma. Unfortunately, this son is a bum. And he goes ahead and he's nichbash ala shivcha. We don't say he's married to a shivcha. Nichbash means he's pressed into a shivcha as if some kind of horrible dark force put him onto that shivcha and pressed him into her, right? We're not going to say that he actually wanted to go onto that shivcha. But the bottom line is that shivcha has a son. That son is an Eved. Now, normally, if there is a grandchild, then that grandchild would be sufficient to provide Achila of Truma in the case where it was a Bas Yisrael who had been married to a Kohen, or it's enough to passel from Achila's Truma, or enough to give you Truma if it's a Bas Yisrael who had been married to a Kohen. But in this case, since he is an Eved, this grandchild. So if the father's mother, in this case, was a Bas Yisrael, a Kohen, he does not provide the right for eating truma. If it's the mirror image case, where she was a Bas Kohen, the father, the bad boy, who's the father, his mother, was a Bas Kohen to a Yisrael, he doesn't stop her from eating truma because he doesn't count. It's as if he's not there. And therefore, she can go back to eating truma. A mamzer, now, in a case where he was like serious isser, doesn't matter. Even though he's a mamzer, he's still a child, right? Or a grandchild. And therefore, surprisingly, a Kohen may not give her the right to eat, as we'll see, but a mamzer will. So a mamzer, if a Kohen, a Bas Kohen married a Yisrael and she has a grandson who's a mamzer, so she's not going to be allowed to eat truma. But vice versa, if she's a Bas Yisrael and she married a Kohen and she has a grandson who's a mamzer, he is enabling her to eat truma. And what would that case be? Well, it's very simple. A Bas Yisrael goes and marries to a Kohen. Or, the mirror case, a Bat Kohen goes and marries to Yisrael. In both cases, she has a daughter. So far, so good. Classic situation. The Bas Yisrael can continue to eating truma. The Bat Kohen cannot go back to eating truma. Now, suppose that daughter went ahead and it was married, so to speak, to an Eved or an Oved Kochavim. And she had a son. So that son is a mamzer. Now, if that's the case, then here we're talking about, even though it's not Karis, this was about Chokas we had before, whether Oved Kochavim and Mams and Eved Abba Bas Yisrael is mamzer. We take on the fact that he should be a mamzer. Now, despite the fact that he's a mamzer, if grandma, which was either the Bas Yisrael to a Kohen or the Bas Kohen to Yisrael. So if grandma was a Bas Yisrael to Kohen, and all she has left from her marriage to that Kohen is this little mamzer of a grandson, nonetheless, she continues to eat truma. In the opposite case, the Bas Kohen, who had gotten married to Yisrael, and all that's left of that marriage is this little mamzer grandchild, lo tochal betruma. And therefore, in that case, you could have a Kohen Gadol. This is so amazing. You have a Kohen Gadol who actually might end up passing you from eating truma. What? Yeah. You have a mamzer who gives you truma, and you can have a Kohen Gadol who passes you from having truma. Think about that. Because let's take the case. Ketzad. A Bat Kohen goes gets married to a Yisrael, and they have a daughter. Great. So in this case, the poor Bat Kohen is not allowed to eat truma. This daughter was perfectly kosher. She goes and marries a Kohen, and she has a son. Now, that son can be a Kohen Gadol, right? Areza Roi Liot Kohen Gadol, she married a Kohen. He could be a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and he's Omed Mishamish Al Gabe HaMizbeah. So since he is the son of a Kohen, so he is Machilat Imo. His mother was a Yisraelite, but she can eat. But his grandmother, who started off as a Kohenet and now has a grandson who is the Kohen Gadol of Yisrael, she says, I can't believe my rotten grandson. He is the Kohen Gadol, and he makes it impossible for me to eat truma. If I could get rid of that grandson, I'd be sitting on top of the world, and I'd be eating truma. Goes to show you, children and grandchildren are highly overrated. So Zoto Meret, so when she talks about this, she points out, this is a little ridiculous, may you not have children like me, not like my son, the Kohen Gadol, meaning your grandson, not don't have children like my little mamzer. She doesn't mean he's really a mamzer. He's a Kohen Gadol. But he's treating her like a little mamzer. And he's making it impossible for me to eat truma. May you, mein kind, have better children than that. So much for my son, the doctor. So lo kivni Kohen Gadol, shehu posleni min hatruma. Okay, so we said that basically if someone is a shoter, the guy is crazy, then if he's a Yisrael, he does not passel the Bat Kohen by marrying her, because that's not a marriage at all. And Tanina La Tanur Rabbanan, this is basically a Mishnah, which is teaching us something that we learned in a Braita, namely, a Shota, if somebody's crazy, or he's a Katan, and they're both the same because they have no Kinyani, and they married women, Shenasu Nashim V'metu, So we see from here that they are not considered to be married at all. All right. Then the case in the Mishnah continued. Ketsa. So Yisrael goes ahead and rapes or seduces a Bas Kohen. She could still eat truma, but if she came pregnant, she can't eat truma. Ibra lo tochal. Kilanti ibra lo tochal. So I don't understand. You're saying that if he raped her, she could still eat truma, meaning the next morning she gets up and she can eat truma. That's called the morning after pill. So it's perfectly okay for her to be eating truma. But if you're telling me that if she gets pregnant, that she can't eat truma, so maybe she's pregnant. So how would we allow her to eat truma, since if Ibra lo tochal, lechushema Ibra, should we not be worried? Maybe she's pregnant? I mean, we had a case like that before, remember? Where we had the weird case of, remember that wedding organizer, where she put the wrong bride to the wrong husband, you know? Man, oh man, that was a crazy one. So what did we say over there? That for 3 months, they have to be separated from their husbands because we got to know who daddy is in the event that she's pregnant. Well, over here, we have the same problem. We got to be afraid that there is a daddy, meaning that there is a pregnancy. And if there is a pregnancy, then she's not allowed to eat truma. So what's going on? There it said, maybe they're pregnant. Oh, my Rabbi Baravun, it's not the same. Because, look, to decide who is so-and-so's daddy, that's very important. Because Klal Yisrael is very makbid on Yichusin. The whole idea of Klal Yisrael is, remember, this is so much part of our Masechet, it's so important to our Masechet, is that our idea of marriage and pregnancy is a linkage, as Yibam points out, is a linkage to Maisa Bereshis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing a Zachar and a Keva to begin a world. And this is an ongoing involvement in that world, as we learned in this week's Parsha, to those of you who had Behar as the Parsha. It's always going back to the beginning, and you're linked from the beginning. So, okay, there we have very high standards. I mean, we're not going to take a chance at losing track of who is daddy. So there we're very makbid. But over here, so, okay, I mean, she'll say, what are the chances that she got pregnant just out of a chance encounter? Okay, so even so, we're going to be worried. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the question, well, I mean, maybe she got pregnant from a chance encounter. Listen, if pregnancy were that easy, we'd have less specialists in fertility. So the fact is, it's not so pushit. And therefore, we're not going to be cautious, don't let her eat truma because maybe she got pregnant. I mean, that's not so much of a norm. Really now? We're not concerned for truma, huh? And what about the famous case in the Bright, huh? A Kohen gives a get to his wife, who is a Bas Yisrael, and doesn't have rights to eat. And he gives her a get, and he says, here is your get that should take place 1 hour before I die. So he doesn't want her to fall to Yibam. He's trying to help her out, whatever. From that moment on, she cannot eat truma, because it might be 1 hour before he dies. So how in the world would she be allowed to eat truma? And you see from there that it's possible, even though she's got a chazaka, but nonetheless, they said, look, we can't allow you to eat truma because you won't be married to a Kohen in an hour now, because he's going to be dead in an hour from now. Okay, that's true, but it's not exactly the same, because as Robert Baravuna really pointed out, is that there's a difference between nisuin, right? So, okay, I understand. Where you're married, so over there where you're married, we would be choshesh. It's true. But for znus, for either a rape or for just a seduction, we don't worry so much about pregnancy because, as we said before, women who are raped do their best not to get pregnant. And someone who just had casual sex does the best not to get pregnant. So I understand it's not 100% effective, but she'll do whatever she can do. So like the Gemara says, she's mitapechet, and she'll douche, whatever. She's trying to get rid of any sperm that are there. Okay, so that lessens the possibility of her getting pregnant, and therefore we're not choshesh in that case. But in the case of marriage, then we would in fact be worried. Oh, now you're making trouble, because you're saying that in the case where it's a perfectly licit intercourse, that then we are worried, but we're not. Because take a look at this braita, huh? A bat kohen who goes ahead and gets married to Yisrael, and the Yisrael gets up and dies as soon as he took her to the chuppah, she can go to the mikveh. And she has to go to the mikveh because she slept with this guy. So it says, Rachatsuba Mayavitomu Anahara, fine. Let her go to the mikveh. And that very night, even though she might be pregnant, she actually eats truma. She does eat truma. So that means that even though this was licit sex, it still is not a concern that she might be pregnant. You said that it's only illicit relationships that she's going to do her best not to get pregnant. So now that's not a valid approach either. Says Rav Chisda, wait a minute, my dear friend. Even if we're worried about pregnancy, okay, we're only worried about pregnancy when she is pregnant. The first 40 days after conception, she's not pregnant. Well, what is she? She's potentially pregnant, but we do not view a fetus at less than 40 days as being a fetus at all. It's a blast as far as we're concerned. She had a blast. And therefore, the issue over here is simply that we've got 40 days that we don't have to worry about pregnancy because it doesn't make any difference to us. So therefore, what the braita means is that for the next 40 days, she can eat without concern for pregnancy. The ilo miabra. If she hasn't become pregnant, so she hasn't become pregnant. But even if she did become pregnant, it wouldn't make any difference, because ad arba'im maya bi'almahi, the first 40 days, we do not view an uber as being a human uber at all. And therefore, there's no problem of yelid beto. I mean, there's only a potential yelid beto. So it's maya bi'alma. So what it said over there is that she can eat, but only for 40 days. So wait a minute. So then take a look at what the braita says at the end. Ema seifa. It says over there, if it's clear that she's pregnant, so then when it turns out at 3 months that we see she's pregnant, now she's in big trouble. Because now, te'ine kukelet l'mafreya, now she's going to have to pay for all the truma that she ate illicitly, retroactively, and she's going to have to add the extra knots. Remember, a czar that eats truma has to also pay an extra chomesh. Oh, the poor girl. But according to you, what Rav Chisda just said was that anyway she was allowed to eat for the first 40 days. So what do you mean she's chayev retroactively? Come on, man. She is chayev retroactively. I mean, there is a bit of time between 40 days and 3 months, isn't there? And so that's what we're talking about. Come on, you don't have to jump on every word and say retroactively means all the way retroactively to the moment that she was sleeping with him. Come off it. Anyway, so that's not a problem. It means up until the point of the 40th day. Obviously, until then, she doesn't have to pay for truma. She's still allowed to eat truma. Itmar. Now, how about this case? A guy ends up sleeping with his fiancée. This is more than his fiancé. I mean, it's an arusa. An arusa is really married to him, except the Chachamim said you're not supposed to sleep with her. So the idea over here is before the chuppah. And okay, so they have some casual relationships. And what happens is that she has a baby. So Rav Amar, Well, if she's been sleeping around, so then the child is a momser. Because, I mean, look, she's ready to sleep with this guy. Who knows who she's sleeping with? I mean, she's obviously got her little red whorehouse sign on the back door, and who knows who's coming in? So we have to assume that since technically she's married to this guy, so therefore the child is a momser. Where Shmuel says, come on, I mean, the child is a momser. I mean, the Vlad is a shtuki. I mean, may have a chashash. Shtuki means when he says daddy, she says shh. So, okay, so if that's the case, it's only a chashash. It's not vadai. I mean, why should we think she's been sleeping around just because she slept with her orus, right? So, I mean, basically, I mean, we know that they slept together. They both admit that they were sleeping together. So the question is, does that mean for sure that he's the father? Or does it mean that there is still a possibility she slept with someone else? Or is there equal possibility that she slept with someone else? And therefore, there's no reason to assume that it's him. Oh, my Rava, well, I think it makes more sense to say, like Rav, that it's a vadei mamzer in a case where the word has gone out that she sleeps with all and sundry. So there, it's called dumya, right? Remember, that's called duma demata we had. So over there, everybody's talking about her availability to all. So there, yes. But in a case where we don't have such rumors afloat, so then it makes much more sense that, I mean, obviously, if she is engaged to this guy, it's very likely that they've been having a relationship. So what's the big deal? Why would we say that it's a mamzer? And I'll prove it, says Omar Rova. I can prove it to you because the Mishnah said that a Kohen who had slept with this Yisraelite, if she has a child, then she can eat truma. What do you mean she can eat truma? Why could she eat truma? Because what? Because we're assuming that since she had sex with this guy in a casual manner, he must have gotten her pregnant. Why he must have gotten her pregnant? I thought you just said anybody could have gotten her pregnant. So just because we happen to know that they had a relationship, so therefore we should attribute the pregnancy to him? So what are we talking about over here? If the rumors are afloat that she's ready to be available to anybody, the Dami Miyama, so why should we assume that it was the Kohen who got her pregnant? It could have been anybody. So Amai Tochal, Ela Lav, then must be the Mishnah's talking about a case where we only have the rumors that she's been sleeping with the Kohen, but not that she's sleeping with people in general. That must be the case. And therefore, we're saying that she can eat truma. So now look, if even in that case where she is just as usher to the Kohen as she would be to anybody else, and the din is that we nonetheless, we say for sure, who is daddy? The Kohen. So in this case, where she's asura to everyone else, and there's only one guy in the world that it's reasonable that she's been having relationships with, which is her own fiancé, where she's really allowed to have relations with him anyway. So therefore, she's usher to everybody else. She's mutter to this one. Why are we thinking that she would be having pregnancies from somebody else? So for sure. Therefore, it's clear that Rav wasn't talking about such a case. He was talking about a case, Dafka, where the woman was viewed by everybody as being available to the whole world. Omar Le'abaya doesn't prove a thing to me. I could always say that the truth is, wherever there are rumors that she was sleeping with him, then even though there are no rumors that she's open to everyone, Rav still says that the Vlad is a mamzer, because we suspect that since she is ready to sleep with someone in a way that's inappropriate, so the Amrina mida afkara nafshalagabe arus afkara nafshale amuk, a girl like that doesn't really care that much. And as far as our Mishnah, why does the Mishnah say that the child must be the Kohen's child, and because of that he can eat truma? No, the Mishnah is talking about where there was no one else around to make her pregnant. These two people were both put into one cell in a jail. So, Yushneim Chavushim Bebeit Asurin. So, I mean, makes sense, doesn't it? That he's the one that got her pregnant. But if I really don't know, So then maybe a Rav would hold, even if there's no rumors about her being available to the whole world, she would be Asura. Others say, Ikari Amre, as far as this machlok is between Rav and Abaya, in the case where the Orus says, yes, I've been sleeping with her, and we do not have any rumors, everybody agrees that for sure we consider the Orus to be the father. And therefore, what it's talking about over here, that Hachi Itmar, the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, is if an Arusa became pregnant without our knowing, so instead of the words, what we said, Haba al Arusa, it says a married woman who is an Arusa became pregnant. The earlier Pshat said, Haba al Arusa, meaning that we know it. They both admit it. Over here it just says an Arusa turns up being pregnant and we have no idea who the father is. So there in this version, it's saying in a case where we have no idea who the father is, they're not saying that they slept together. So then Rav Amar Vlad Amar, Amamzer, Vishmur Lomer, Avlad Shtuki. And in this version, Amar Rava, it's logical to go like Rav, but only in a case where we have no basis to say she's been sleeping with the Oros. There's no rumors like that. The Oros is a good little yeshiva bacher, and we do not assume that they've been sleeping together. But there have been all kinds of rumors about her little sign on the back door. And there, Daima Miyama, she is suspected of sleeping with people. But in the event that there were rumors about her sleeping with the Oros, so even if people would be saying that there is, she's open to the world. I forgot the Daima Miyama. There, Rav would agree that for sure we would assume that daddy is the Oros himself. And in this version, Rav also proves it from the Mishnah. Minoa Minoa, I'll prove to you that that's what Rav holds. Diktani, it says over here that in the event that the Kohen had casual relationships with the Bas Yisrael, if she gives birth to a child, then she can eat truma. Because why? We're assuming daddy is the Kohen. Tell me what the case is. If we're talking about in this case that the rumors have it that she's been sleeping with this Kohen and there are no rumors about anybody else, I mean, is it rather obvious that she would be allowed to eat truma in this case? Of course it is. Must be, therefore, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where there are rumors that she's been sleeping around. And afal pikein, we still assume, since there are specific rumors about a relationship with him, that he is the father and she can eat truma. So, for heaven's sakes, if even in that case, where she is exactly usher to everybody in the same way, she's not Arusa. She's not allowed to be sleeping around because she's not married to any of these people. Nonetheless, we follow the case and we say the Kohen could be daddy. So in this case, where it's an Arusa and an Arusa, you really think that Rav would have said that instead of saying that the Arusa is daddy, that she's a mamzer? The child's a mamzer? That can't be true. So that's my proof. And in this version as well, Abaya disagrees and Abaya says no. I can still tell you that in a case where there are rumors that she's sleeping around, even if there are also rumors about their specific relationship with the Orus, even though that's the case, Rav still insists that the Vlad is a mamzer. And so how does Rav explain the Mishnah? That we're going to say that the father was definitely the Kohen? The Mishnah is talking about a case where we do not have any kind of rumors whatsoever that she's been sleeping around, not with him, not with anybody else. All of a sudden she's pregnant and we say, okay, baby, babies don't come from nowhere. So who is daddy? And then both she and the Kohen say, I'm daddy, he's daddy. That's the case. So in that case with Bechlal, we were not taking our cues about who she's been sleeping with based on rumors. Then in that case, the Mishnah says you can assume that daddy is the one that she and he say is daddy. All the other cases are based on rumors. And since they're based on rumors, even if the rumors have her sleeping with other people or sleep, then in that case, Rav would say, nonetheless, she is definitely chashuda and sleeping with anybody. Because of that, that Vlad is a mamzer, according to Rav.